Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Brokerpreneur Podcast. I'm Dr. Ben Spears, the ambassador of flow of this podcast.
Right.
Right? I don't do the talking. I just keep the flow. We have an amazing guest with us today. I'm super excited. I'm going to let Matt introduce him. But before we get to him, we have to ask the question that everyone is on the edge of their seat about.
Really? The edge of their seat?
How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing fantastic, Dr. Ben. Doing a fantastic, and I'm excited about Ken. He's with a modern wealth building formula. He's going to talk to us a lot about what he's done and how he's gotten to where he's at. The coolest part, I think, is he has a great backstory of how he ended up where he's at, and I'm excited to be able to share that with everybody.
Yeah, he's got a lot of experience, you know, from the times that we've talked to him. You know, he just seems like a really funny guy, honestly. Yep. So I like that. He's got an enormous background and you know a lot of great education stories as well. So we're gonna kind of get into that. But before we do, Ken Van Loo is our guest today. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing awesome, Doctor. How are you today?
I am doing so well. I've been looking forward to this podcast for some time, and ultimately I just want to make sure that we get as much out of you, as we possibly can, so that our listeners can take advantage. And then of course we've got the big guy here with us,
right,
who's going to circle everything that we talk about back to from an entrepreneurial standpoint all the way back to recruiting, brokerage growth, and how we can take these lessons that we learn from amazing guests just like you, and grow their brokerage.
So we're gonna dig into all of that. I love, we've already touched on, in our pre-interview here, we already touched on, how people flow through the different quadrants of business, and you brought that up, and I'm excited to get to that part. But before we do that, tell us a little bit about your background, right? So tell us how you ended up where you are right there, because you got a cool story about how you thought you were going in one direction, right? And you ended up going in another. Tell us a little bit about that, Ken.
Yeah. I didn't know which way I wanted to go. I was decent in math. And I figured, maybe I could go to college and study math. And I wanted to be an engineer, but I couldn't get into engineering school. So I went and played football and got some gridiron experience. And I created the 6-year plan in college. It took me 6 years to get a civil engineering degree. And thank God I met my wife taking calculus two for the third time. She finally taught me some teaching skills that I eventually graduated civil engineering. And by that time, I had already been employed as a contractor, as a construction supervisor, making close to 100 grand. So I become an engineer, and, I just didn't make sense, because I didn't become an engineer right out of college. You have to work 4 years. So I not only worked 4 years, I then failed the test 5 times. And I just kind of like gave up. But the one thing the professional engineering did is it opened up the door for me to get where I'm at today and brought me in. So, I always felt behind. I kept educating myself, and found out that all this education didn't teach me how to make money.
Right.
So here I was about 31 years old, married, and I had twins, and didn't have enough money to really afford the living that I wanted.
Right.
So my wife, my mother-in-law, who, she wasn't always so fond of me, asked me if I wanted to play golf one day for an outing with her firm, which led to me joining a country club, begging my wife for, $5,000 out of savings, because I had this vision of proximity is power and I'll be able to raise money.
Right.
So, I joined this country club, and around the fourth round, I meet someone, and next thing he gives me $100,000. I end up quitting my job in New York City, big time executive, because I rose up the ranks over time.
Right.
Wife thought I was nuts, taught myself how to live off $60,000 a year. And then I developed a $17 million project with other people's experience and other people's money, and never really looked back after that. I didn't have a lot of money back then, but I learned how to pay myself fees. One of the chapters in the book is, fee gold. And today I'm CEO of Global Real Estate Strategies. We've been a development and real estate advisory firm in New York City for many, many years.
Okay.
So I build for other developers and owners, and you know, we do all kinds of projects. Right now, I'm developing the Larison Turkey Farm in Chester, New Jersey. And
oh, wow.
I hijacked the call, so I'll let you say something.
No, no, I love it. As a matter of fact, that's there's so much to unwrap for that, right? So the cool thing is, you were doing one thing, right? And when we were talking about this, you know, you said you kind of looked out over the skyline and you're like, there's opportunity here. And something that you worked out, right? You got into a deal and then you actually stepped back from that deal and said, okay, how can I do this again? Right? Because how you got into it, let's say it wasn't intentional, right? Let's just say, is that accurate that it wasn't intentional that you got into that first one?
And then it really wasn't. I was daydreaming, you know, like, yeah. Wow, could I ever belong to a country club? You know, and the next thing, you know, a month later, they had an executive special and I was a member of the country club renting the president's room so I could tell my story that I believed in, you know, and they always right. say, if you don't believe it, no one
that's
will,
right.
you know.
That's right. That right.
That's right. Right. And so you were able to, and then you kind of, once you got that first deal and you got that going, you kind of stepped back and said, okay, there's a niche here, right? There's a need for what I'm doing, right? And then you started re-engineering how you got into that situation and how you built that deal out, right? So from a broker standpoint, you know, brokers do this all the time. You know, they stumble across an opportunity with a recruit or something that they're doing in their business, and they don't step back from it and say, okay, you know, I appreciate that. I'm grateful that I had that opportunity, but how do I make more of those? Right. Which yeah. is what you did. You figured that out, you know? So tell us a little bit about how you did that.
Yeah. You know, you make a good point, because what happens is, you know, here I'm building a project in 13 months, cutting the ribbon in the, I guess you would say the weeds, you know, at times you have to step out and look at the forest, because what I realized is that I had a business right in front of me.
Right.
I had a syndication business where I had paid myself a development fee. I had paid myself a construction management fee. I ran, I believe it was 8% of $14 million through my company in general conditions, which paid for my staff for 2 years. There was other fees we paid. We were able to get fees on material purchases. And all of a sudden, I was like, wow, if I can rinse and repeat the syndication process and the right. paying fees, the next time I'll be able to get more ownership. Because on the first deal, I didn't have the equity to buy into the ownership, but I knew how to put the deal together. Brokers are the most qualified out there, right? They know how to pull it all together. When I first looked at the word syndication, I didn't know what it meant, right. you know, and it was really like, okay, you put people together. I was good in sports, you know, down at the playground, raise your arm, put the team together. You know, this right. is what we got to do, guys, to move the ball downfield. You know, and here brokers open up a company and sometimes they get stuck in their comfort zone, and they have to realize yeah. that life begins at the end of their comfort zone, right? And right. that there's opportunity right in front of them at that moment that they could seize.
Absolutely. And so, you know, we talked, pre-interview, and, you know, we discussed, you know, how Robert Kiyosaki, you know, goes through the cash flow quadrant, right? We talked about that. You brought that up, and a lot of brokers get stuck in that situation, right? They go from, you know, they're not really an employee, but they go from an agent that's working in a brokerage to really owning and running their own team and everything. And then they think that they're moving over to the business owner quadrant. And the truth is that they never get out of that sole proprietor quadrant, right? They get stuck in there. And so that's what you did, right? So you stepped out of that role of the guy that was just a contractor, that was not just a contractor, but was the contractor. And you stepped into this role of, okay, now I have a business. I have staff that I'm overseeing. I'm still doing the contracting thing, but I have all these other things. So you were able to kind of make that transition over to that. And, you know, looking back, I'm sure you don't want to go back into that other role, right? Yeah. You'll do it if you have to and everything, or you'll hire someone to do it and still be able to make that money. So that's a lot of what we want to do from a Brokerpreneur podcast, is help people understand how to move from being that person that's swinging the hammer, being the expert, yeah. to the one that's surrounding themselves with people swinging the hammer, right? Exactly. In your situation, right? So you got any advice along that line of how people can yeah. jump to that transition? How do they make that happen?
Yeah. So I'll say, first of all, you know, a lot of people have a certain expectation, and the unfilled expectation kind of just messes with their head a little bit, you know, when in reality, it's a transition, and it's kind of like a mountain. You know, you're climbing that transition. You know, at times you've taken two steps back, yep. get a step ahead. So you find yourself having to drop into the old Ken, or, you know, if you're kicking off a new project and, good salespeople turning brokers have this philosophy a little bit. Well, if they can't do it, I'll just take care of it myself, you know, type of thing. So it's very easy to go, I'll just take care of it and grab it back. And yet, you have to really gain patience and try new things, right? Because, what you did to get to where you were isn't going to bring you to the next level.
Right.
So you really have to look at what I consider is called the micro distinctions, right? Because it's the minor little adjustments that you will make and the things you did every day before that will make the difference and take you to the next level. It's not like you're going and creating a massive change. You're looking at the micro distinctions that based on the skill sets and what you have, how will it shift your mindset into, the entrepreneurial thinking without thinking something's wrong if you have to step back occasionally in order to get someone to fill that role, because it's really about stepping up and getting someone to fill the role, which is another whole conversation,
right?
Because you then have to develop and clone yourself.
Yep.
When you're trying to grow into this other position, like our most challenging commodity is time, so right. Between family, business and personal growth and paying it forward, time blocking is the key.
Yeah.
What I would say to any entrepreneurial spirit broker, really wanting to transition and take it to the next level, is that you have a certain vision. It may be a year down the road, 6 months down the road. It's so important that you're blocking an hour, 2-3 hours today that's going to give you what you want 6 months down the road.
Yeah. And I love where you're going with that and talking about micro distinctions.
Absolutely.
Because we talk a lot about that, not only with our clients, but, on this podcast, along with our other podcast as well, where it seems as though someone says like, okay, well, I tried that a week.
Yeah.
And that didn't work. Let me change everything. Let me just change the name. I'm going to change the name of my business and start a new LLC. I'm changing everything. And it really just doesn't work that way, right? And so you have those fundamentals.
Yep.
That everyone needs to solidify. I think a lot of times people want to just skip the fundamentals and go straight to the shiny new toy or the flashy things.
Right.
But talk to me a little bit, Matt. Because we got that's a great point. Those micro distinctions of how a broker. Mm-hmm. Can maybe say, okay, well, I've gotten from this first quadrant to mm-hmm. the second quadrant. I want to go to the third one. I want to be that business owner. I have some things that I've done to get from point one or point A to point B, and I want to go to C. How could someone who has those micro distinctions change those just a little bit, to go in that direction without saying, I'm going to change my whole company in every facet. Because that's the only way I'm gonna be able to go to the next level.
Exactly what Ken said. You have to replace yourself.
Hey guys, this podcast is powered by Prospect Boomerang.
We all know broker owners struggle with profitability. Prospect Boomerang compounds your profits by recruiting the best agents to your brokerage.
For consistent growth, visit prospectboomerang.com.
Right. So that's a big part of it. You have to understand what your role is, number one.
Right.
And then you have to have someone else come in and be able to do that. The reason why a lot of people make that big change instead of making the micro distinctions, by the way, I'm going to steal the hell out of that word. Okay. So I hope if you've got it copyrighted or patented. Okay. I'm about to steal that word and use it constantly. Micro distinctions is absolutely huge. What people do instead is they make macro distinctions, right? They go and they change everything. And the reason why is because they didn't understand their role. And they have to bring somebody else in, and they don't like the way that the other person is doing it, or they don't understand the role that they have well enough to bring somebody in to make that replacement.
Right.
So instead of making the small little pieces that they do and making those different, they're actually having to change everything. So they hire what they think is a great person because of the direction that they wanted it to go, because they didn't have their role really well defined. That's how we help with recruiting. Literally, all the person has to do is plug into our system. And if they plug into our system, the personality of the people come through,
right?
And they can make those micro distinctions, but they don't have to redo everything every time. And it allows them to replace themselves, which is what you did in your business. You said that your company was able to step in and do some of the things that they needed to do and you were able to get billable hours from it. I absolutely love that. You were able to run a certain portion of the money through there, but you said that for 2 years it paid for staff, right? That staff wasn't doing your job. You were doing your job. They were doing those other jobs that helped that syndication flow the way that it was supposed to, right? So you moved out of that solopreneur place and you moved into that business owner place because you were able to take your role and replace it or duplicate it and have somebody else do it, right? Now I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that correct? Or is that, am I off base, or what can you add to that?
Yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. And, you know, one of the things, and I just want to, one of my advisors and coaches is a blind man. His name is Sean Callagy. He has two of the top 100 jury verdicts in the country in medical recovery. And he brought that word to me. I don't want to take credit for micro distinctions because he allowed me to start looking at micro distinctions in my life. And it just, you know, and here, what I'll say micro distinction, because when people are very, very successful and say they're in the 99th percentile, the micro distinction are those 1/10th movements. So, you know, if you're at 99.5 to go to 99.7, your income goes from like 400,000 to 1.7 million by those micro distinctions. Yep. So I just want to give him credit for that. Whether where he got it from, I don't know, but I heard it from a blind man, because we're all blind, just starting to see. And, you know, this is fresh from me. And I believe that, you know, in my experience, you know, I always had this philosophy is that I need to know everybody. I need to meet. Brokers, and so I use the difference of horizontal innovation versus vertical innovation. Mm-hmm. So horizontal innovation is they probably know everybody, or they have a reach to this wide branch of people through the agents, but they don't vertically innovate and create relationships with the people that they have unlimited possibilities to. And I wanted to bring that micro distinction to the brokers, because I think if they were to just, you know, look at, you know, the top 20 people that they know and go into some deep thinking on what ecosystem merge that they could do with that person, or what relationship equity they can bring to the table. Because the philosophy is, you know, if you give someone what they want, you're going to get what you want.
Yep.
And, you know, you can learn a lot taking that approach, you know, and, you know, half of those people can be mentors, you know, like anything else. Don't forget where we came from. Once upon a time, we were seeking mentors. And, you know, don't, you know, another word that Sean taught me was ego subrogation, right? You know, because ego will ruin your dreams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't go into anything that you know at all. You always got to still be a student of the art.
Yep.
And be open to learning and never be afraid to vertically innovate the people that you grew up through the ranks with and see what they're up to. Be generally interested. Go out there with the philosophy to help, given you shall receive, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. It sounds like we could dig in quite a bit in that part of the conversation too, because you it seems that you're really grateful and appreciate the people that you're around. So you probably have some really killer stories. I don't want to take up too much of your time. So maybe we can promise to have you back on at some point and us dig into some of those. So
yeah, I would love to, you know, and it was a real pleasure getting to meet you, because I think, you know, it's funny on Clubhouse, I think it is, I grabbed the keyword brokers, you know, so I'm going to be talking to a lot of brokers one day. And, you know, what I'm really excited about and what I want to share with the audience and even with brokers, you know, we all occur a certain way to people. So I occur to people as the commercial guy, and I don't want to deprive people to let them know, all you brokers out there, that, you know, I have a program called Financial Freedom Protocol. It's literally coming hot off the press. I know we don't have video, but here's the outline.
Right.
And, you know, it's essentially how I was founder of Flipping USA, Flipping New Jersey. We did 137 deals in 1 year using a modern wealth building formula. And that was the final proving, I guess you would say, out where it worked for land development, commercial, you know, multifamily, and then, you know, wholesaling, believe it or not, wholesaling and retail, where people think they don't need money, but anything you want to grow and scale, you know, and you want to do 100 deals, trust me, you will run out of money.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I bet. I love those guys. Oh, yeah, you don't need any money. You can wholesale all day long. I'm like, yeah, but your mouth is watering you, and then you want to do two, three deals, and you're like, oh, shoot, I need 100. And you're like, sure, you know?
Yeah,
and, that's the key to scale, I'm sure.
But yeah, I have a lot to share with you. It would be a pleasure to come back. And I got to thank the doctor for keeping us on track, because I would have took you off on all kinds of tangents.
No. And you brought up those things. So this is always my next question that I ask before, you know, I kind of get to Matt to summarize a few things. If any of our listeners wanted to get in touch with you or learn more about what you do, you know, what's a great website? You know, I know that you're an author, you know, so if you want to talk about that a little bit, you know, what avenues do people have to kind of learn more about you, reach out and talk to you or pick your brain on things? And, and then I'll put that in the description below, just like I always do, but I like for people to be able to hear it, you know, if they're just listening during their workout.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really, believe it or not, easy to get in touch with. And, you know, I could give you a specific link, or you would just go to kenvanloo.com, and on that front page, there's, you know, discover how, and that leads you to a free 45-minute strategy call that if any of your brokers ever wanted to jump on the phone, no commitments. I'm not a salesperson. I actually do this to pay it forward. So I work with a couple key clients, maybe 15 throughout the year, two at a time. And, you know, we just help them. But sometimes people get on the phone, they just need to sort out their next step. So we give them some time. And then the book, I think, is out there also on the website. You can get it for free, pay for shipping. And what I'll do is send you over some links if you want
perfect.
To share with the guests, and they can go direct instead of having to search around for things, you know?
Yeah, perfect. So I'll put those links in the description below, guys, you know, along with kenvanloo.com, of course.
Yep.
Matt, so we've talked to Ken here for, you know, a little bit. Summarize just, you know, kind of, you know, give us one big takeaway for our listeners, and then I'll close it out.
It's too good. I can't give one. So,
okay.
So
they know,
yeah,
they understand.
Right, I get it. Yeah. Of course I'm going to ramble. I think the first one is when you find yourself in a good situation, appreciate the great situation, but also step back and take a look at it and see if there's some way that you can duplicate that.
Yeah.
Right. Which kind of brings us into the second thing that Ken said is, you know the people around you, and instead of being, you know, in your relationships, having such a horizontal view of your relationships, go ahead and dig in with some of the people that, you know, those people are going to be able to help you see maybe what you weren't able to see.
Yeah.
And what they're going to do is they're going to help you understand those micro distinctions, because you're going to tell them things and you're going to work with them, and they're going to mentor you and you're going to mentor them. And in those conversations, they're going to be able to pick apart small pieces of things that you can make adjustments that end up giving you huge results.
Yeah.
Right. Especially when it comes to recruiting, especially when it comes from getting out of that solopreneur place and getting out of that being a salesperson and actually turning into a CEO, which of course is what we're dedicated to on this podcast and with Prospect Boomerang in general. Right. So I think that's probably good. Ken, is there anything else? Did I miss anything on that?
No, you nailed it, buddy.
Good. Good. Well, we got to have you. We'd love to have you come back on and talk more specifically about some stuff if you're good with that and everything. But Ben, I'll let you. How about if you wrap it up for us?
Yeah, by all means, guys. So, you know, before I close it out, you know, if there are any questions that you have for Ken, or there's things that you want us to talk about and pick his brain, you know, the next time that we have him on the podcast, you know, make sure to send us a message, send us an email. You guys know all the channels to do that. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, any of those platforms, make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you happen to be watching this on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, that bell right beside of it. You get notified every time we drop a new episode. If you want to listen to all of our podcast and, you know, see our little micro distinctions on our website, go to prospectboomerang.com, click on podcasts and you can listen to it there. Matt,
yes.
We bring on all of these amazing guests, just like Ken. And we do that for one reason, and one reason alone. And why is that?
Because we just want to be part of their win.
Thanks a lot, Ken. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, absolutely. It was awesome. Thank you, guys.